Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Stone. I'm just having a hard time with that music. I'm not making that pivot to the new music.
Hey, you gotta be willing to roll around here, man. Things move fast.
I know. That's new for me, and every time I hear it, it's just... impresses me more.
So you were not with us on Friday. We had to do our stuff without you. Tell us what you were up to, man.
I was in Baltimore, Maryland, speaking in front of about 300 fitness bloggers, telling them what we were doing with the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy Show over the last 6 years.
And so I bet that was a lot of fun. What did you tell them? Did you give them any advice?
Yes, it was because of you. We came up with the acronym FIT.
Yeah.
The Find Your Platform. Invite your friends and try different things. And that was a big hit. It was on the Twitter sphere.
I saw the Twitter stream. It was a big hit. Congratulations, man.
Thanks.
Well, let me tell you what we did without you. Bernie Wolford and I were over at the Cobb Energy Center at the Entrepreneur Advisors Symposium here in Atlanta.
It's quite a show.
It was a marvelous show. That was a much bigger event than I anticipated. And that's Cliff Oxford and that crowd. They put on a heck of a show, and we got to play. We were doing a remote broadcast, and a little shout-out and thank you to Vanessa Lowry for co-hosting. We must have interviewed some 20, 25 entrepreneurs in the space of a couple of hours.
Right, you had the Kentucky Fried Chicken guy, right?
We did, Governor John Y. Brown, and his big piece of advice, because I'm always looking for the magic sauce, right?
Right.
He also said, try stuff. And he said, build stuff, and if it works, build two.
That's good.
That was his advice.
Like that.
So that was a lot of fun.
Did he have samples? Because that's what I would care about.
You know, I asked him, and he sort of ducked the question. I said, every time somebody buys a drumstick, you still making money? And I really believe the answer is yes.
Yeah,
but he sort of sidestepped the question. But that was a delightful interview. What an interesting guy. Yeah, he is.
And we're just nonstop doing stuff. You're actually emceeing something coming up. What is it? 101 Best and Brightest?
Yeah, an up-and-comer is going to help me emcee that I'd really want people to know about because I think she's got a lot of talent.
Yeah, she might be somebody. Who is that?
Monica Kaufman Pearson.
Nice. And this is the National Association for Business Resources, and they got a list of the best and brightest here in town, and they're going to unveil them.
They've already got the winners. Aren't we going to have some of the winners come through the studio and interview them, but then we're going to make a big deal of it?
Is it the finalists and then the winners, or the winners and the finalists?
I don't read the memo that close. You know, if they show up, we'll ask them some questions,
exactly.
Right? But that's June the 20th, and so,
put
that on
your
calendar.
Better show up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we've got a marvelous segment for you this morning. It is my distinct pleasure to introduce two gentlemen from TAG Education Collaborative. We have the chairman of that organization, as well as the executive director. Welcome Dan McDade and Michael Robertson. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, Stone. Good to be here.
Thank you, Stone. Glad to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Let's start with you, Michael, if we might, and just give us a little bit of an overview about what TAG Education Collaborative is all about.
Sure, be glad to. TAG Education Collaborative is the Education Foundation part of the Technology Association of Georgia, or TAG. TAG is a trade association with about 13,000 members. We have 120 premier companies, and we do about 180 events a year. So it's a very vibrant organization. The collaborative's function is connecting those members to education programs that will improve workforce readiness for technology companies around STEM. Science, technology, engineering, and math.
Man, there's a lot of acronyms in this business.
Yeah, they like it.
They're always.
Technology people love the acronym.
Now, Dan, you have a day job. You have an organization where you help folks in the sales and marketing process. Tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us about the relationship and your role with TAG.
Happy to, Stone. Thank you. Well, first of all, Point Clear. I'm the president of Point Clear. Point Clear is the prospect development company, and if you understand that there's an alignment issue between marketing and sales in most company, what our company does is we fill that gap so that we do prospect development, which includes demand creation, lead generation qualification, response management, and lead nurturing. And about 18 months ago, maybe close to 2 years ago now, the president of TAG came to me and said he wanted me to be part of the TAG Education Collaborative. And I said, you know, there are really two things I'm not very interested in. One is government and the other is education. my kids are all older now, so
there's nothing in it for you, so
right,
you're
exactly,
out, right?
Yeah. So he says, well, I really want you to do this, and I think you're going to find it interesting, and I actually really have found it interesting. So at the beginning of last year, I became the chairman of the TAG Education Collaborative, and during last year, during 2010, we recruited Michael to his job, so it's been a lot of fun. Had a real good time.
How long has the collaborative been around?
It's actually been around since the late 90s, I think. Isn't that right, Michael?
I think they started in 2000.
Okay.
And it was just a program that TAG did. It was not staffed or anything until 2007.
Oh, so now they've kind of moved it to the front burner.
That's right. That's right.
So what's the problem we're solving, or the group of people that we're trying to serve here? Is it kids? Is it businesses? Help us get our arms around that.
Well, it's a little bit of both. If you believe the numbers, they say that by the year 2020, there will be 123 million technology jobs, and we have 50 million people to do them.
Wow. That's an opportunity then. Huh?
It's a tremendous opportunity. And so what we're working to do is get kids more interested in STEM so that they have a better grounding to be able to go into those technology careers.
Now, when are you catching these kids?
The program right now is primarily around high school students. We have two different programs. We do a web challenge where students get together and write up a web application that gets judged. We just finished that program, and we give out scholarships based on creativity and implementation ability. And then we have a student internship program. This is a program that we're currently working on. We've gone out and identified 150 students that are very interested in STEM careers. These are students that have taken the advanced placement courses in physics and calculus. They're students that are aiming to go to technical colleges.
I would not have been caught in this net.
This is not you. Just passed you right by. And we take those students and are currently recruiting companies to take them into technology jobs.
So you're going after the top, the cream of the kids?
That's correct.
Is there any program that kind of finds the diamonds in the rough?
Well, what we've done is gone and recruited at charter schools, at magnet schools for math and science. We've worked with different programs like FIRST Robotics and Junior Achievement to try and identify these students. A lot of them are diamonds in the rough. A lot of them don't have an idea of what they really want to do, and they want an opportunity to get involved in a summer internship that's more than, would you make these copies? Would you do my data entry? Would you go get my dry cleaning kinds of internships? And that's what we're after.
I want to give a couple examples of that if I can. In fact, one of these predates Michael, but there were a couple of girls who were interns, I think it's two summers ago. It was right about the time that I joined the board. And they were given positions down at Georgia Tech. And it's kind of funny because the person who was supervising and basically handed both of them a 300-page manual and said, here, read this manual and then try to work this machine out and see if you can do some experiments. And he left the room. So these two girls read the manual, and by the end of the 5-week intern program, they had actually fixed a significant problem that was causing this machine to not deliver accurate results about 4 out of 5 times. They actually rigged up a pan or something that made the machine work better. And one of the girls in particular, who thought she wanted to go to med school, decided at the end of this 5-week period she wanted to become a research scientist. Another group, JBN Consulting, they're also part of the board of TAG Ed. They brought in interns, and they said that they didn't really think that there was any way they would ever present these interns to clients. But they were so impressed with these kids that they actually presented the interns to the clients in client meetings. Another example is where they gave these kids what they thought was going to be 5 weeks worth of work, and at the end of the first week, they were all done.
They were done.
They were ready for their next assignment. So whether it's the web challenge or whether it's the intern program in terms of meeting these kids, you know, I like to tell people to rest assured that there are just great kids out there right now. You know, I think the future of our country is secure on the basis of meeting these kids. But to Michael's point about the intern program, we are still looking for companies to have interns this summer. The program is $1,000. It's 5 weeks. You get great kids. You'll get great work out of it. We're taking an intern. A number of the other member companies are taking an intern. But if you have an interest in that program, get a hold of Michael at Tag Ed, and we'd really appreciate that.
So now the company pays $1,000, and then that goes to the kid for their work for that 5 week period?
Right, 100% of it goes to the kid, and it's I think it's paid actually through Tag, but then it gets paid.
You don't give Michael a cut?
No, he gets 10% off the top.
So it's obviously intern season, right? I mean, people are. So what are some best practices that you can share with those of us that are looking at the idea of bringing on an intern, whether it's through your program or not? What are some best practices for getting the most out of an intern and providing them with the best possible experience?
I think the key is planning. The key is really identifying what it is you want the student to accomplish. And once you do that, decide what the deliverable is going to be and make that very clear to the student. Because once they hone in on what it is you want, they'll give it to you.
Now, is that one of the challenges like the companies are hesitant from doing because they're overwhelmed by this? They don't know how to kind of deal with a high school kid? And is that something you guys help them with?
Lee, I think there's two issues there. One is people worried that these are high school kids.
Oh, so they're not going to show up?
And they're worried about them not showing up.
Like when the X-Men comes out, they're going to miss that day.
They're worried about the lack of responsibility. And I have found totally the opposite.
Really? They're early, stay late kind
the,
of kids?
These students that we have found are very involved, want to work, want the experience. And as Dan gave a couple of examples, go above and beyond what is expected. I think when we can get a company to say we can get work out of these students instead of, okay, we'll try and babysit somebody along, then we get real value.
Right. So the companies are thinking, oh, I'm just making $1,000 donation. And, you know, they think that it's just kind of they're just throwing the money away. But you're saying that these kids are really providing excellent value if they're directed correctly.
That's absolutely correct.
And there's a boss that I used to have years ago had a great expression that I think sums it up, and that is I'm going to tell people to aim high. But don't tell somebody what to do. Make them want to do it, and they'll find 10 ways to do it that you never thought of. And I think that's a great thing to think about when you're getting an intern into the company.
So you're actively looking for more organizations to bring on interns. Are you also looking for more interns, or are you fully stocked on that side of things?
We have 150 students, and so we always are looking for great students. Let's be real. The better the student, the better the match, the better the program is. So if we can get more students that are top quality students, we'll take them and we'll work to find places for them.
Now, when you're dealing with the kids, are you is it a draft? Like how do you match up the kid to the right organization? Is it, you know, like the NFL draft?
You know,
we get a bio and then we're in one of the 1,000 that we put our 1,000 in, so now we can pick
best athlete possible, right? What we're trying to do is match student interest with company needs. And the better we can do that, the better
it'll work for both.
The better it'll work for both.
Right, because like if a company has a need for maybe a social media person that's interested in that, and then you have somebody that's great at physics, that may not be
not always the best match, right?
Well, I'm wondering, real time here, are our needs technical enough that we could profit from participating in a program like this, or does it need to be a more sophisticated operation than Business Radio X?
We have currently interns placed at large companies like McKesson. We have them at medium-sized companies like Point Clear and Verint, and we have them in very small companies. We have one intern that's developing a website for a small coaching company.
Nice. Are you suggesting a high school kid could do what
I
me
think
and I
that's
are doing?
What, yeah, that's
I think
I'm
that's
hearing.
Exactly where he's headed with this.
That's what I heard. Now, so is there a deadline? Are you on the clock for this? Because school's ending.
Well, and that's the deadline. We also do a workforce readiness program for these students to help get them ready for work, and that's scheduled for June the 2nd. Most internships are starting June the 6th. Because of the nature of summer, we ask that the company take the student for 5 weeks, sometime between June 6th and August 5th.
And then the company has to, is there something that the kid gets at the end of this other than the money? Is there some certification or they get something that can help them in their college career?
Well, they get the opportunity to put it right on their resume. There's also an expectation that the student prepare some type of report, whether it be an oral report or a written report, about their experience and what they got out of this. That's right.
Right.
Well, I don't know that it would take them 5 weeks, but apparently my producer feels like we need new intro music for this show. So there's something right there. Now, Dan, you've done this before. You've had this experience. You've had an intern, or will this be your first time around?
This will be our first time. And we've been doing a social media, to Lee's point, we've been doing a social media experiment now for about the last 6 weeks. And one of the options that we're looking at is to have the intern do something related to social media. And we think that having a young person bringing their way of thinking is important. Like, you know, my son, as an example, my son hasn't used email except for at work for years, you know, 6 or 7 years. They're all into the texting and the Twittering and that kind of thing. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we stay current with how we communicate with our prospects and clients.
So talk to me about the vetting process, if any, that exists. So if an organization is genuinely interested in participating in this, do they come in and talk with you? They do a phone interview? Do they fill out some sort of application? How does that piece work?
You can go online to tagedonline.org, and there's a, under the programs for the student internship program, there is a host company application, or people can just call. And we spend 10 minutes on the phone getting an understanding of what you're looking for, and then we match you up with students, and we take it from there, however you want it done. If you want to interview the students, if you want to do it over the phone, if you want to trust us to pick them, you know, we're after a good quality match because that's how we're going to grow this program.
Now, I know the internship's a big part, and there's a sense of urgency with that because of school ending so quickly. But what do you guys do during the school year? Is there stuff you guys are doing to interact with the kids during the school year?
A couple of things. One, we have a web challenge program where students develop web applications and get judged on that.
That's on their own, or they go somewhere and they do this?
No, they do it on their own in teams online.
Uh-huh.
With their faculty. They need a faculty advisor.
Right.
One of the neat things that happened this year was we actually had two virtual teams. Students that had never met each other but were connected through a faculty advisor. And one of them lived in Massachusetts and one of them lived in North Carolina, and they developed an application together using it with the faculty advisor. Kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, that's great. So you don't have to be even here in Atlanta?
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. We had teams from all over the state and, you know, these couple of kids outside of Georgia. We do want them to have some connection to the state of Georgia.
Right.
And Michael brought an extra twist to this year's web challenge, and maybe, Michael, I can ask you to talk a little bit about that. But I think so far we've given away or given scholarships amounting to, what is it, about $150,000, is that right?
I think about that right now, yeah.
And then talk a little bit about what you did for the teachers this year.
Well, it seems to me that one of the key things that we have to do is engage our teachers. When you work with a student, and you make progress with the student, it's a one-on-one connection. If you can improve teaching, it's five classes of 20 to 30 students a day. One of our focuses as we move forward is recognizing the quality teachers. And so in the web challenge this year, we took some of the scholarship money and actually gave it to the faculty advisor that was on the winning teams. We gave them each $500 to go towards their supply budget to put back into the classroom for their future students.
Wow, that's a great program. Did you get a lot of positive feedback from that?
Yeah, it's really been tremendous. We all know what's happening with resources for teachers.
Right, because that's coming out of their pocket. That budget, usually they're funding a lot of that budget, so that helps them out a lot.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And we did it, one, to recognize teachers, but also to drive participation and improve the quality of the participation.
Did it work?
Absolutely.
So you're going to continue that in the future?
I would not do anything less. In fact, I'd like to do more for the teachers.
Up the ante a little?
Yeah.
More than 500 or more winners?
More winners. More winners. I think that we're just starting to have some of those teachers start to figure out what to do with that money.
Right.
Honestly, they're struggling a little bit with how do we do something that makes an impact with this much money.
Right.
To them, it's a huge amount of money.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in a teacher household, and I know that my mom and my father both, they went out of pocket every year because there was just stuff that just wasn't covered in their budget. Something like this would have been huge, huge to them. I think, what a marvelous program.
Thank you. Thank you.
So back to this this acronym STEM, science, technology, ergonomics, and math.
engineering.
Science, technology, engineering, and math.
Oh, okay, well, I got 3 out of 4. Yeah,
that's not bad. That's it. There's
you
your
do
great
that in the major
average,
leagues.
Right?
You know, absolutely. So you spoke to the challenge. There's this void between the number of jobs that are coming and the number of people that are going to be properly qualified. What other challenges presented in that arena? Are we not competing effectively with other nations? Why else is this a challenge in your mind, you think?
Well, I personally think it's a couple of things. One is, no, we're not competing. We have the best university system in the world, and the top schools are going out of the country to get qualified students. A school like Georgia Tech needs more local talent, and that's part of what we're trying to do. The other thing, and quite honestly, that I'm trying to promote is the rigor. It's tough to take AP Physics. It's tough to take AP Calculus as a high school student. But when faced with that rigor, as you move on in your career, you're much better prepared for top quality jobs within the technology
right.
industry. And those are the jobs that pay the best. Those are the jobs that provide the most opportunity. And we need our students to understand that. Not every student's going to go become a movie actor or a basketball player.
Right. Is that your frustration in this? As you see so many students that are like taking these kind of softer classes, marketing or advertising.
Why are you looking at me?
Rather than, putting in the time and effort it takes to get through a science or math degree.
I think we're losing a lot of the students early on, too. I think I won't quote the statistics. Maybe Michael knows them better. But a lot of times we're losing girls, for example, in the fifth grade from math programs. And
What do you mean losing? What
well,
does that mean?
They begin to lose interest in the curriculum having to do with, mostly around STEM. Part of that is because it isn't cool. Part of that is because it's a little more difficult. Part of it is because they have some early failures that they don't overcome. And then as they go through the rest of their middle school and high school career, so to speak, they start to take some of the softer courses as opposed to the AP courses. So one of the things that we want to be able to look at eventually is to go back from high school to middle school to elementary school and to work on programs that we think will capture the students' attention early on so that we can do two things. One is to keep them in school. Georgia has a dropout problem. And then the second thing is to basically keep them interested in
engaged
STEM curriculum,
right,
and keep them engaged, right. And that gets back to Michael's point, which is that eventually it gets back to teachers. You know, we have to do a better job for our teachers. I don't know that that necessarily means higher pay, but it certainly means, you know, controlling classroom size, making sure that the teachers are in an environment that is a rewarding environment, as opposed to the, you know, sometimes the difficult environment they're in now.
But it might be something, like I know my son is in the band, and he has a great band teacher that on his own, he started a jazz band program for the kids that really like band. He's in middle school. And it would be nice if there could be programs for the science teachers and math teachers that maybe can be partially funded by these kind of TAG initiatives, where they can do a robot program or a, you know, an app program or a, you know, some sort of physics program that gets these kids engaged at a younger age, because there is a problem. They start losing interest. It might be too late at high school.
Yeah, there is a fantastic robotics program available now to kids, but one of the things that Georgia Tech is working on is getting elementary students involved in robotics early on. And I believe the program is called Slider. Is that right, Michael? I think I've got that
right. Yeah, I think that's right.
And but at any rate, they have these Lego kits that the kids can make robots out of, and it teaches them physics, ergonomics, math, science, even some psychology.
Right, but without them noticing, though. They're picking up that information,
exactly.
But while having fun doing it.
Exactly, while they're having fun. So hopefully that would translate into, and I think that program is still going on. I think it's got a couple of years left, but hopefully that translates into students who stay involved in robotics. And
right, take it further and want to learn more and do their own things from that.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's so important. I agree 100% with what you guys are saying. There's a problem in the school system where these kids are just, for whatever reason, like you said, losing interest, and they're kind of trickling away, and we're missing a huge opportunity. They're right here in front of us.
TAG has done a good job, too, here over the last couple of years. And, Michael, you probably have the language down better than I do, but doing a couple of things, getting to the point where we can actually teach the students using medium that the students can appreciate, which is basically kind of interactive medium. I was at a school. I was principal for the day at a school, and it was remarkable that they had these kids going up and pushing these screens, and they were interacting with the screens as they were learning. And the kids just absolutely just love that, you know, and as opposed to sitting down and writing on a sheet of paper or reading out of a book, you know, the electronic mediums that are coming along. TAG has done a lot of work over the last couple of years to get the state of Georgia to the point where we can use laptops and iPads and that kind of thing, you know, as a part of the education process, which I think is an important future step.
During this whole conversation, I'm reflecting on my senior schedule.
Yours?
Dean's assistant, varsity sports, right. Driver's ed. And there was one academic course. It was English, but, you know, that's my first language. By that time, I'd been speaking it for 17
good.
Years.
Now, Michael, do you see the problem being, is it the kid's problem? Is it a kid problem? Is it a teacher problem? Is it both? Like, what? From your experience, you're seeing lots of smart kids, so it can't be that there's a lacking of kids smart enough to do this kind of work.
Not at all. Not at all. There's plenty of very, very bright kids.
It's just they're not getting the right opportunity, or they're falling off this path at some point that we got to keep them on, right?
Well, I think the challenge is making science and math engaging and fun.
For more people. Some people kind of are drawn to it, I guess, for whatever reason. I have no idea. Other people are.
There are a lot of people that are.
Right.
But let me give you an example of a program that I think works really well, and it's at the Fulton Science Academy, which is a charter school for math and science. But they have a teacher, Mr. Doozle is his name, and Mr. Doozle teaches very hands-on. So Mr. Doozle, when we had the web challenge, he made the web challenge a class project.
Right.
He had 24 teams entered in the web challenge because he wanted the students to not only learn kind of the what you do, but actually do it and learn the how.
Right.
And experience the problems. And, you know, that was a great experience. He also took his team. He had a robotics team that went to the national championships. Hands-on kinds of learning math and science in ways that that are interesting.
But is that now a best practice that can now be replicated?
I think that's some of it. But, I mean, if you look at a school today, the students sit in class in front of old desktop computers to develop some kind of technology, and they leave the room and start searching on their cell phones.
Right.
And, you know, the reality, and the school doesn't want students using the mobile media that is so available.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a disconnect.
Huh? It's very much a disconnect. And I did a talk for teachers not too long ago where I pointed that out. And the biggest problem is teachers aren't up to speed on
they're not as they themselves.
Right. We want to transition the web challenge into something else.
Right.
And we've talked about doing a game challenge. The biggest challenge to doing that is having teachers that understand how to develop a game.
Right. And there's nothing that the TAG people can kind of get their partner members in there and help this out?
Well, I think what we're trying to do is get TAG membership more involved.
And then partner them with the faculty person, and then together then they...
That's exactly right.
Right. That's the mission. I guess that's one of the things you're trying to do.
As a matter of fact, Michael's working on a program right now that he uncovered actually early on, and we are tentatively calling it TAG Ed Link. I think I can say that right, Michael?
Yes.
We had another name that turned out we couldn't use, but anyway, TAG Ed Link is the name of the program. And basically, all of the details haven't been worked out, but kind of in your mind, it's like a portal that allows schools and school districts and even maybe teachers to identify needs, and then allows the TAG members to come in to the portal and give, whether that's a box of construction paper or 2 hours a week for 5 weeks to give the teacher a break or to let them focus on something special. So, you know, we have 13,000 members, and we have a lot of schools that have needs, and what we're going to do is match those needs with people who want to give. And if you ask every TAG member I've ever asked has said, I absolutely want to give. Just tell me what I can do.
Right. They need the direction. They need to be directed to be told what they to be done.
And every education organization says, we want your help. What do we have to do?
The same thing.
And this is a way to bring them together.
So it's up to you, Michael, to make this happen.
It's on you, baby.
It's match.com between geeks and technology companies.
So in your mind, Michael, what is the kind of, how do you see this ending? What's 5 years from now look like?
I think 5 years from now involves a couple of things. One, we really want to grow this internship program. I think it's crucial to make it very hands-on for students. The more hands-on we can make it for students, the better. But also with that is teachers. We've got to find a way to recognize those good teachers, reward those good teachers, and spread those best practices amongst others. You know, we had 40 teams participate in the web challenge this year, more than we've ever had, and 37 of them were Metro Atlanta teams. And there are plenty of students out there that outside the city of Atlanta,
right,
that have an interest in technology careers and just don't have the opportunities.
Right. We need the evangelists all through the state. I mean, and plus more here in town in Atlanta.
Absolutely. Absolutely true.
Well, before we let you go, let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you and learn more about this program and find ways to participate.
That'd be great. There's two ways. One, the easiest way is to go to our website, www.tagedonline.org, and there's a contact information. There's also a lot of information about our programs. Or you can call me at 404-920-2038.
Terrific. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Lee Cantor, and two guys that are making science, technology, engineering, and math cool again, with a little shout-out to Mr. Doozle and everyone here at the Radio X family. saying, we'll see you in the fast lane.